Gentlemen, we would now call upon the Honorable Lakshman Kadri to just say a few words on his reflections of Trinity College. As you know, he's a very distinguished old boy who's we're very proud to have today, and I'm sure his thoughts would be very useful to us. Sir, would you please come and say a few.
Reverend Wilson and fellow Trinitians, sometimes people say that when you're invited to speak, please say a few words. Politicians are congenitally incapable of saying a few words. It's a contradiction in terms, but I have to go soon because I have to prepare a major speech to be delivered in Parliament tomorrow. But I was very keen to come to this gathering. Because I know very well that Trinity is now at a critical juncture. Whenever it comes to the appointment of a new principal, the event is critical. It has to be because the principal is the leader of the school. Now, I left Trinity 53 years ago, 1950. So I belong to a generation which was just after the golden days of Trinity. You referred to the famous Fraser episode of building Askiriya. By a lovely coincidence in my young life at that time, when I was head prefect in 1950, the chief guest at the prize giving was none other than Reverend Fraser. He was then a very old and frail man, and he and his wife came. They hadn't been to Trinity for 25, 30 years. But he came, and it was a marvelous occasion. He was hauled in a carriage of some kind from the railway station. Candy was full, absolutely packed, because the memory of Reverend Fraser was very, very vivid in the minds of the people of Candy. The great contribution that people like Fraser made in their time was that they lived in the community. The famous Social Service League, the Trinity boys who went and worked in the Mahiyawa slums, attending to the wounds of people, caring for the sick and disabled and all that, is the Fraser tradition. Going to the prisons and speaking to prisoners. And long after Fraser went, that memory was there, and generations after continued that. When I was captain of the cricket team in 1950, we used to be escorted to Askiriya, the old Askiriya, before it was leveled and made into a stadium. We used to be escorted by a band, and a whole lot of very vociferous Trinity supporters, all coming from the slums, Mahiyawa slums. So that is 1950, and Reverend Fraser went in 1924. So you see, the traditions of Trinity are very deep, they're very old, they are enduring, and they are very sound traditions. These are traditions that are, I would say to people like Reverend Wilson and so on, that these are very sound traditions that must never be abandoned. They are relevant to any age. The idea of social service, of fairness, of decency are relevant to any age. Reverend Fraser was the first principal of any school to want Sinhala taught compulsorily. The British Education Department was aghast. It was considered to be a seditious act on his part. And he was severely reprimanded by the Colonial Office. And there was a famous meeting in London attended by Fraser, where the Colonial Secretary was there. And the Colonial Secretary made a speech, which was a typical imperialist speech, and Fraser went up to him and challenged him after the speech about education policies. And everybody was astounded. Who is this man, Fraser? Of course, he had a very solid pedigree. He was the son of the governor of Calcutta, I think, at that time. His father was a very distinguished public servant. You see, the golden period was, I would say, the great Fraser, followed by MacLeod Campbell. Now, in the time of Campbell, that was the 1924 to about 1936, Trinity really blossomed into a mini-university. Campbell was an Oxford man, a reverend, a highly cultured man, and he brought to Trinity a tremendous dimension that no other school in Sri Lanka enjoyed at that time. He made it a university. You see the question of tutorials, library was built, the whole intellectual atmosphere in Trinity, I'm told, it was before my time, but I heard echoes of it in that period, was absolutely astounding. And the combination of the sporting tradition that Trinity had always, rugby was paramount, but cricket was excellent in the 20s. There was that famous season where Trinity won every match by innings. 5 matches they played, they won every single one by innings. That was in the 20s. There are people like V.C. Shockman and all sorts of people at that time. Rugger, of course, they were absolute runaway victors in everything, and Royal didn't score a try till I think 1940. And the scores used to be in the region of 40-0, 35 and all that. There was no Bradby then. It was only one match. Then, of course, the tide has to change. Nobody can monopolize these sports. But Trinity had that great combination of good sporting background, good education. And what more do you want in life, really? That equips a person virtually to do anything. The number of clerks and fairly minor officials that Trinity produced was very large. But they were good people. If you have a good clerk, then you have 50 good clerks and 200 good clerks, and they've come from Trinity, you have the backbone of a good administration. Trinity produced a whole lot of tea planters, a whole lot of policemen. And of course, interspersed with that, there were brilliant scholars who got first classes, went to the university and so on, a whole lot of them. So that mixture was very rich indeed. Campbell was succeeded by Reverend Stopford for 5 years. And he left in 1940, and he went straight from Trinity to become Bishop of London. Very, very prestigious appointment in the Anglican Church. And then he was succeeded by the first Ceylonese principal of Trinity in its long history, Simitrarachi. Simitrarachi was a Fraser pupil. He captained Trinity at cricket in Fraser's time. He was head prefect in Fraser's time. So he brought, by the time he became principal in 1940, he was completely bred in the Trinity tradition. He was Trinity through and through, absolutely. And his origins go back to Fraser, none other. He was on the staff for a long time. So you see, the continuity, when we made the change from a British principal to a Sri Lankan principal, that solid bridge was there. So I know the 40s, from the 40s to the 50s, I was there for 8 years. Srimitrarachi had this enormous task of following these great men. Every one of them was a very great man. His contribution, he couldn't match them in scholarship and all that. He was a very stern disciplinarian. No nonsense with Srimitrarachi. Absolutely none whatever. He took it upon himself to ensure that he would hold Trinity in place. After this great era, you know, it's a daunting task to succeed people like that. That was his great contribution. He held it beautifully together, in my view. Not a great visionary, but very strict disciplinarian, respected. When he walked into the assembly hall every day, there was an electric atmosphere. Because people respected him, they feared him, respected him, but you know, you need that kind of relationship to make a school work properly. Discipline is very important, and Trinity was famous for its discipline. I gather, I've lost touch actually with the details now, but I gather discipline has gone down a great deal. And this is one of the great problems. So anybody who takes this job now is taking on a very daunting task. It's not going to be easy. And it's only a brave man who will take it. But then difficult times require brave people. So if the Reverend Wilson is going to be the one on whom the mantle falls, I would say, be true to yourself. If you believe that a public school of this vintage, over 125 years old, must build on its roots that however, whatever the modern fashions of education may be, that there are certain basic essentials. If you believe that, you must hold on to it. And don't trade those beliefs for some newfangled theories that are floating around. Education must be modern, that's another matter. Today it's computers. That's excellent. But core values should never change. Trinity is built on core values. If those values go, and if the belief in those values go, Trinity is nothing. Trinity is one of 250 nondescript schools. So what? It'll go down the drain like everybody else. But if the old boys believe in what they were taught to believe, and if they still believe it, and if you, one of the contenders for this very important post, believe in those values, then I would say stand by them, fight for them. And if you get this job, run your principalship on those lines. That, I think, is what the old boys are expecting of whatever generation. Now, I see here a much younger generation than mine, but obviously they are also thinking about the same thing, that the old traditions must be preserved. These are not dead traditions, that they must be preserved, they must be brushed up, certainly, to suit the times, but they must not be abandoned. They must not be compromised. The old boys are saying, don't compromise them. We would like to see a Trinity of the kind that we knew, that many of you are in the 70s and 80s even, perhaps. I am saying you must have a Trinity of the 40s and 50s. So you see, there is a convergence of opinions among the old boys on that, the kind of Trinity that they want to see. So, Reverend Wilson, I've seen your curriculum. And naturally, I'm impressed by the fact that you went to Oxford and you're a Harlequin. That's very nice to know. And I know that your uncle, Reverend D.K. Wilson, was a great athlete. And those are very good things. The sporting connection is excellent because that fits in very well with Trinity's tradition as I just described it. We've gone through good times and bad. Our rugger is very low. It'll come up. I noticed very good signs this year, but very bad signs in the last few years. Our cricket was very bad for a long time. And there are some signs that it's coming back. If you get the job, you might be able to help a great deal to bring that back. To the average Trinitian, these things matter. You know, I noticed that when the rugger team loses badly and the cricket team has been losing all the time, Trinitians are very depressed. They're always looking around for some magical solution, hoping that things will improve. Well, that goes to show that they are still believers in the old tradition, and I say that's a good thing, it's not a bad thing at all. And they are fighting for that. So they went and hired a coach from Australia. And my information is that that coach is doing well. That's because the old boys won't let go. And they will push any principle that comes up, you know, to do these things. And if they find a principal who is amenable to this way of thinking, then there's going to be a meeting of minds. And I can't pass judgment on this, but from what I see of your curriculum, you seem to have the kind of attributes that the great body of Trinitians is looking for. I can't, I'm nobody in this, I can't prejudge anything, but I liked your all-round curriculum. You may well be able to bring back to Trinity some of that elan, you know, some of that luster that is not quite there. It used to be not quite there. But it can be burnished because the basics are there. So, Reverend Wilson, I wish you luck in this bid. I'm very glad that you're making the bid because the selection process must be rich. And it's very good to have three or four people in contention. And the old boys must play a part. And they must make their voice heard in some way. Perhaps this long list of signatories. But in some way, you must make your voice heard at a critical time like this. And not allow the decision to be made by a small group, be they bishops or anybody else. They're all accountable ultimately to the great body of Trinitians. alive and dead. You know, the tradition is so old that actually those who are alive today are living on the tradition that was created by, for them, by generations long gone. That's, I'm not saying that luck, and I'm very glad you came, and compete hard. I'm not saying that, you know, you should, I don't know to what extent you can control this yourself, but I would ask all your supporters, if they are convinced about your candidature, to support you hard. Push hard. There must be competition. Ultimately, let the best man win. I mean, Trinity is famous for that story, what you told us about Trinitians coming to meet their opponents and all that, the gentlemanliness. Trinity in defeat is even greater than Trinity in victory. Those are the marks of a gentleman. And if anybody tells you that gentlemen are outdated, I would say that's not so at all. This country, if it had 25 gentlemen, would be a totally different place.